And good morning to all of you. For those of you who might not know me, my name is James. I serve as one of the pastors here at Freedom Village. It's an honor to be gathered here together with all of you, but it's certainly even greater knowing that we gather together today with the understanding that Jesus is alive. Amen? And that's why we're here today. We are here to celebrate Jesus because we believe that he is risen, that he has defeated sin, that he has defeated death, and that he has offered us new life and to be with him forever. That's why we are here today. Well, I want to jump right into things this morning. So let me invite you to turn with me to the passage that was just read for us. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you have a Bible with you today, if you have a physical copy of it, that's great. If you have a phone, maybe you have the Bible app, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a book in the New Testament. Okay, it's on the back side of your Bible. Or maybe you have to Google it right now. That's okay too. We have Wi-Fi, so you're good. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to be looking at a few verses of the Bible today, which happen to be some of the most famous words written on Jesus' resurrection. I just felt like that was appropriate for Easter Sunday. And through these verses, what I want to do is unpack for us a few what I'm going to say are resurrection realities. And through these realities, through these truths, my prayer is that all of us would see and know that there is great hope today, that there is great joy available to you today. You see, each one of these truths that we're going to be unpacking, going to be uncovering today, speak to some of the greatest and the deepest longings of our souls. And so if you're sitting here today, there's good news. This is relevant to you. This is a message for you. And so I'm really glad you're here. In fact, I even prayed specifically for you last night. I might not know your name. I might not know you personally, and I might not know your story. But again, last night, I was here in this room, and I went around to literally every single seat, and I prayed that whoever was here, whoever was sitting in this seat, would come to see that Jesus is the greatest treasure in the universe. I prayed for you that you would know that he cares about your life, that he cares about your joy, both now and forever. And so, if you're a Christian here today, if you're a follower of Jesus, I just want to remind you right from the very beginning, before we even get into the Word of God today, that the resurrection doesn't just mean that Jesus isn't dead anymore. No, no. What the resurrection means is that literally everything has changed for you. It's changed how you hope. It's changed how you find joy. It's changed how you treat others, where you find your purpose, how you see your future, and how you are meant to spend your days. And if you're here today, you're sitting here and you're not a follower of Jesus, you would not consider yourself a Christian, I want to start off this morning by thanking you again for being here, but also just by putting you at ease today. We are not going to, at least I don't think so, that's not in the program, make you stand up and sing a special song, okay, for us. You don't get to wear a special hat. We're not even, at least I'm not, going to even point you out, actually. Look, I understand. I spent the first 19 years of my life in your exact same seat, in your exact same shoes, not truly believing in Jesus, not truly following him. I knew about him. People had told me about him, my parents primarily, but I did not follow him. And many, many of us in this room have the exact same story. And so we understand you. You might not think that, but we do. We understand you, and we're not here to make you feel uncomfortable. Again, we're actually so glad that you are here. That being said, the only thing that I do ask of you, and it's my encouragement actually for you today, is that you would simply, in this next 35 minutes or so, that you would simply be open to to doubting your doubts about Christianity and Jesus. That you would doubt your doubts. At least go into today thinking, maybe there could be something about this Jesus guy. You know, what I have personally found as I've talked with many people who don't know Jesus or follow Jesus, I've personally found that the majority of people who reject Christianity actually know very little about who and what it is they're actually even rejecting. And so I hope to change that for you today. All right? So now that the ground rules are laid out for us, we're ready to begin. Let's open the Bible together. And what I want us to see first today from our passage is that there are some really sad consequences if Jesus was not raised from the dead. Basically, what we see the writer of this book doing, his name is Paul, by the way, and what Paul does here in this passage is paint this picture of what would be true of us, what would be true of our lives if Jesus died on the cross and is still dead. He wants us to see that there is actually a lot at stake with this. That there are actually severe consequences for us if Jesus is still in the grave, if he never actually rose from the dead. And so look at these consequences with me. First of all, what we're going to see, if Jesus has not risen from the dead, that we are still in our sins and our faith is pointless. If Jesus is still dead, you and I are still in our sins and our faith is pointless, it's useless, meaningless. Verse 17 says this, exactly. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. It means useless. And you are still in your sins. This is the first sad and very real consequence. And it is very clear what Paul is saying here. He says, if Jesus remained dead after his crucifixion, then we do not have a real solution for our sin, for our guilt, for our shame. You see, Jesus, he said that his death was meant to accomplish forgiveness of sins. He said that. He verbalized that. And if Jesus rose from the dead, then his resurrection would shine a light on those words, on that truth. We could trust him. It would make sense to believe that his death really does forgive us. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we should not trust him. There would be no point in trusting him, actually. And it would mean that he didn't rescue us from sin, which means that we still have a really big problem today. It means that we have no answer for our sins before God. It means that we are still guilty before him. That's the reality we face without a resurrection. It means that the whole Christian faith is pointless. It's useless, Paul says. That if Jesus is dead, then all of the Bible reading some of us have done, all of the prayers that you have prayed, our giving, our serving, our gathering together, even like this today on a day called Easter, it's all useless if Jesus came and died and is still buried in the ground somewhere in Israel today. Well, it gets worse. There's a second consequence, a sad one. We see it in the next verse, verse 18. If Jesus has not been raised, then those who have died trusting in him have perished. We see that in verse 18. It's exactly, again, what the text says. I'm not being too creative with the points today. Just straight out of the text. If Jesus is dead, Paul says, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Let me try to simplify that for you. Paul is saying, if Jesus is still dead, then all of us who have died trusting in him as God, all of us who have died believing in Jesus as our Savior, what he says here is that we then are also dead. And this is not just about physical death. It's actually not really about physical death at all. Paul uses the word perish there, which is a phrase that means spiritual death. So again, if Jesus' death didn't accomplish the forgiveness of sins, It means that those of us who have sinned, which by the way is all of us in the room, all of us have sinned. It means that when we die in our sin with no hope. I don't want to sugarcoat that reality today. I don't want to sugarcoat what the Bible is actually saying. It's literally saying here that if Jesus is dead, that people who follow Jesus will be included in those who are forever separated from God. Forever. It's pretty serious news. And there's more. If Jesus has not been raised, it's our third reality today. Our preaching is in vain. Our teaching, you could say, is in vain. And we are misrepresenting God. Look at verses 14 and 15. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. In other words, if Jesus was just like every other man who walked this earth, then any of our teaching, any of our preaching, any of our sharing and spreading the gospel with others is pointless. We are not only wasting our time, but we are wasting others' time as well. It means that my job, even as a pastor, is literally a joke. It's a joke. Useless, meaningless. It means that all of the New Testament in your Bible, just rip it out. It's a waste. It means that 2,000 years of missionaries going all over the world, all of it is useless without a resurrected Jesus. But perhaps worse, if Jesus is dead and you and I are going around saying that he is alive, then we are actually not just living a lie, but we are misleading people. We are believing lies, and we are spreading those lies to others. That's what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians 15. We are misrepresenting the truth about God if Jesus is in fact dead. And then finally, we see a fourth negative reality here. Paul says, if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, then we are to be pitied. And he's talking to Christians there. We are to be pitied. Verse 19 is actually sort of a summary statement of this whole section. Look at it with me. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, then we are of all people most to be pitied. If I were to simplify that for you, if I were to put that into modern day language for us, if Jesus is lying dead somewhere, then everyone in the world should feel sorry for Christians. We are pitiful. The world should pity, most of all, those who believe in Jesus. See us as pathetic. Because without a resurrection, it means that we are, as followers of Jesus, Christians, that we are devoting our lives to nothing. And get this, our hope is in a dead person. So I want us to see and understand that Paul is purposefully giving us a very depressing picture here. That if Jesus did not rise from the dead on that first Easter, we have a real serious problem. We are in trouble. And I have personally wasted your time by asking you to be here today. By inviting you here today, all four of these statements are true if Jesus is still in the grave. Our faith is useless, our teaching is pointless, and our hope is still in the ground. Paul's painting a very dark but accurate picture of what would be true if, in fact, Jesus is not risen. And inevitably, there are some of you here today, who are like, yeah, I'm tracking with all those four points. And that's why I don't believe. And I do pity you. And your job is useless. That's cool. But then there's verse 20. Look at verse 20. Verse 20, it's one of the most significant passages in all of the scriptures. It changes everything. You might even say it literally flips everything upside down. Paul says, but in fact, listen now, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. I love Easter. Paul says, this is a fact. He wants to be clear with this. This is not a theory. This was not a dream. It's not a vision. It's not a hope. It's certainly not a wish. Jesus is in fact raised from the dead. This is the amazing fact of Easter, and this truth has the power to transform hearts and people's lives. And maybe you're here today and you say, well, okay, I'm a skeptic, right? Sure, I was there once too. How do you know that this is a fact? I believe that Jesus' resurrection is just a myth. It's just a good story. It's a supernatural nonsense, right? That has no real validity in our modern world. Or it doesn't line up with what we know about science. Some of you are in that camp. And to all that, let me just say, again, I ask you, doubt your doubts and ask yourself, where do those assumptions come from? Where are we getting our so-called facts and opinions about anything, even? Because let me tell you what we know is absolutely true today. Whether you're a Christian here today or you're not a Christian here today, let me tell you what is absolutely true. Here are some historical, verified, reliable facts. And I encourage you, please look these up for yourself. Here's what we know. We know that it is virtually undebated that there was a real man named Jesus who lived, that he was professionally executed, killed under Roman crucifixion, and that he was buried in a tomb. We know, and again, I'm not saying what the Bible says, I'm talking about historically reliable documents, even from non-Christians, they write about this. We know that the tomb in which Jesus was buried was discovered empty just a few days after his death. Almost no one in scholarship or academia denies that fact, even atheists. Beyond that, we know that the people who followed Jesus closely when he was living, and even those who didn't follow Jesus closely, some of them claim to have eyewitnessed a very real bodily resurrection of Jesus. Not a ghost, not a dream, not a vision, a bodily resurrection. That is their claim. In fact, we read that at one time, this happened to a crowd of over 500 people. It's double the size of the people in the room today. 500 people seeing the bodily resurrected Jesus at the exact same time. We know for a fact that the same disciples who were closest to Jesus ran away scared and left Jesus once he was arrested and when he was being crucified. His closest followers, those he taught for 3 years, were not there besides one. They all left. But 3 days later, those close disciples were totally transformed after that. Something changed. They ran away scared. A few days later, they came back worshiping. They went from being cowards who were hiding in fear to becoming bold proclaimers of Jesus' death and resurrection, even to the point of dying for this truth. They would die for what they believed. We know for a fact, that Jesus' death and resurrection became the central truth of the church and Christianity from day one. This was not a manufactured story that progressed over time, that took, 10 years, 5 years or a year later to develop and sort of be nuanced. No. Their faith was rooted in the resurrection from day one. We also know that thousands and thousands of Jews who worshiped Yahweh, God, so religiously and seriously, began to worship Jesus as God, which would have been categorized as blasphemy and worthy of their death. You die for that belief, but they changed. They also, we know, moved their day of worship, which had been Saturday for thousands and thousands of years. They moved it to Sunday immediately because they saw Jesus resurrect on Sunday. That's why we're here together on Sunday. And this one, I saved the best for last, is totally insane. This is insane. Listen to this. We know for a fact, that Jesus' own family, his mother, and his siblings, who in the beginning said, Jesus, that guy, that man, is crazy. He is out of his mind going around saying he's the Son of God. At one point, they actually go to get him to try to bring him home because they're saying he's crazy. His family said that about him. They did not follow him. They did not believe him to be God. But after seeing Jesus' resurrection, his own family members turn. They put their faith in him, and they worship Jesus as the one true God. His brother, James, actually is thrown off of the Temple Mount, like 30 feet. What's that? How many meters is that? 10 meters? Something. It's as tall as this ceiling here. It's about. Thrown off the cliff, his brother. They tell him, the Jews tell him, deny your brother. Tell us he's not really God. Tell us this is all made up. You're lying. By the way, this is in the Bible. This is historical fact. Go look it up. This is a true story. They throw him off the temple, and he is laying there, and he doesn't die. So the Jewish people come down the hill, take stones, and they crush his head with stones. Murder him. Because he wouldn't deny his own brother. Now, let me ask you a question. What would it take for you today to believe that your son or one of your siblings was God? I have two brothers. They're older than me. There's not a chance in you know where that I would ever believe that one of them was God, let alone die for that truth. These guys did. Listen, some have said, well, you know, the followers of Jesus in the beginning, the disciples, they invented all of this. They manufactured, they manipulated it. And the question to that, though, is why? Why would they do that? They had no expectation of this event. They didn't know it was coming. And what was their reward? What was their gain for making up this story? Was it glory? Was it money? Was it fame? Because they didn't get any of that. They were broke. They go around even telling people, we have nothing. They literally open their pockets, there's nothing there. Actually, their reward for believing this and telling others about this was suffering. That's their reward. Almost every single one of them who was going around telling people that Jesus is risen was brutally murdered for that message. And so, all these facts, these historical facts, should bring every one of us to a question today. How is all of this possible? What happened to bring about all this change in people who knew Jesus? How do we explain this? Well, what I believe, and what true followers of Jesus believe, is that the only realistic, only rational, only possible explanation is that Jesus did, in fact, rise from the dead on that Sunday 2,000 years ago. And since Jesus was raised, since Jesus is alive, here is what we can do. We can actually reverse or flip everything that Paul said would be true if Jesus was not raised. And so follow me. In verse 17, it says, if Christ has not been raised, you are still in your sins. But now we get to flip it upside down today on Easter. Since Jesus has been raised, we are no longer in our sins. Now, for the Christian in the room, We can hear this so often that it loses its edge. It loses its oomph at times, right? But this is incredible news. Listen, what keeps us from God, what keeps us separated from Him is our sin. But what we learn here is that God has done something about that separation. Even while we were running away from God, someone needs to hear this, even when you couldn't care less about Him, yesterday you had no thought of God at all. You didn't care who He was. Didn't even want to get to know about Him. You had other things on your mind. You were more concerned of what's for lunch. He came for you. He chose to come after you, even when you didn't care about Him. And when Jesus came, He lived a perfect life for us in our place, and then took our sin and our punishment on the cross in our place. And through His death, He paid the penalty for our sin in full so that we can stand forgiven before the Lord today. And this isn't just some flippant forgiveness. This isn't like how you say sorry to your wife because you forgot to turn the light off or you forgot to put the toilet seat down. Okay? Oh, sorry about that, honey. Oops, I won't do it again. No, this forgiveness from Jesus was a complete legal pardon of all of our sin. That's what God does, which is why King David says about God in Psalm 103. He writes, actually, predicting these events. He writes there, he says, as far as the east is from the west, that's a pretty long ways, by the way, so far does He, God, remove our transgressions. That's a really fancy word to say sin. From us. Jesus has removed your sin if you believe in Him, if you belong to Him, past, present, future. There's no more guilt. There is no more shame. The power and penalty of sin is broken since Jesus is risen. And that's good news today. We've said that without a resurrection as well, that our faith is useless, but since Jesus now has been raised, we get to flip it. We know that our faith is incomparably valuable. It's not useless. There's no comparison in its value. You know, it doesn't matter who you are or what you believe today. It doesn't matter who you are, what you believe today. Deep down, we all desire meaningful relationships, or even just one meaningful relationship with someone who is absolutely trustworthy. Someone who understands me. Someone who will never let me down. Someone who will never give up on me. We want to be with someone, be known by someone who knows us perfectly inside and out and yet still loves me and forgives me and is crazy about me. Aren't our hearts and our souls deeply longing for that? Someone who can satisfy the deepest longings of our souls. And honestly, I don't think we even realize how much love we actually want and actually need. Because you can have, listen today, you can have the perfect spouse, the perfect body, you can have the perfect wardrobe, the perfect resume, you can have the perfect friends out there, but we still end up, every one of those people who has that, we still end up hungry and longing for more all the time, don't we? We never arrive. We never have enough. We always desire more. And listen, the reason we desire more is because we were made to want more. We were designed to have this type of relationship. We're made to find true meaning, true purpose, true joy, and true value. We were made to be with someone who says, even though you are not perfect, even though you don't have all the answers, you don't have it all together, I want to be with you because I actually love you that much. See, we all need someone who can fill that void. We need someone bigger. We need someone greater. What our hearts and our souls need is Jesus. Jesus said that He was going to die for us. He said that His death would not be the end of the story. He said that He was going to rise from the dead. And because he is in fact risen, we can trust everything that he did and all that he said. He will never let you down. All of his promises are true. True life is found in him, which means that for those who trust him, who do have faith in him, our faith is far from useless, far from pointless. It means that all of our serving, our loving, our giving, our praying, all of our trusting, all of our gathering together like this is deeply meaningful. All of our value comes from the resurrected Jesus, which means our faith in him has value. I hope you're beginning to see who this Jesus is today, but let me continue to help you understand. Paul has also told us that if Jesus is dead, we all die, not just physically, he said, but we all die spiritually. But now we get to flip it, amen? We get to flip it. Since Jesus has been raised, we are made fully alive with him forever. We do not perish. And let me really clearly and simply tell you what that means. It means today that all of human history and humanity is pointing us towards the day when those who know Jesus will be with him fully and finally forever. Since Jesus rose from the dead, it means that a day is coming where there will be no more tears, no more pain, there'll be no more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow, no more anxiety, no more depression. Because Jesus did not stay in the ground, it means that those who die believing in him will enter into unending, ever-increasing joy with him. You following me today? Jesus is risen, which means that death is not the end, that death does not get the final word, that Jesus gets the final word. Think about it this way. Why in this life do we have such a hard time with things like suffering, things like disease? Why are we so concerned and worried, anxious? Some of us, our biggest fear is this, death. Why? Well, I think it's because so many of us believe that this life is all there really is and all we ever really get to have. We think that this money that I obtain is all I ever have. This body that I have is all I'll ever have. These opportunities are all that I'll ever have. This marriage, this family, these friendships. But if Jesus is risen, and in fact he is, then our future is much more beautiful and certain than the things of this world. It means that our lives actually have purpose. It means that how we live here and now and what we live for matters. It means that when we die, we don't just drift off into nothingness. Because Jesus is risen, we can believe what he said. We read this during worship this morning. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." That's Jesus. That whoever believes in him, here's the word, should not perish. There it is. But what? Have eternal life. Those who believe in Jesus will never perish. Never. And that means that we get true life now. We get purpose now. We get meaning now. It means that when we die, we'll be alive together with him forever. Our fourth flip. We said before, if Jesus is dead, we are misrepresenting God and our sharing is meaningless. But now we see that since Jesus has risen, that the spread of the gospel, the spread of Jesus, is deeply relevant and absolutely necessary. Hear me now. Even if you are here and you don't believe in Jesus, I hope that you can now at least agree with me on this. That if Jesus really died on a cross, and that if Jesus really did rise from the dead after 3 days, that's pretty significant. But more than just significant, it would be the greatest news in the world. It would be number one trending on X. Everyone would be sharing that on Instagram, don't you think? It's the greatest news, yes, because Jesus is risen. It's great news. But it's greater news because of what comes along with that reality. See, what comes with the resurrection is that now you and I, even people who are not even interested in God, we now have the opportunity to be in a relationship with this God, with this Jesus. More than that, Jesus today, he actually wants that. He desires for you to be with him. And so doesn't it make sense then? Shouldn't it be seen as necessary and essential that we share this message with the world? That we share this with our neighbors, with our friends, with our spouses, with our coworkers, that we talk about Jesus with you? Because listen, how could we not talk about Jesus with you? It would be no different than a person having cancer, their friend, their best friend having the cure and never telling them about it. Except this is far, far worse because this has eternal consequences. And so as followers of Jesus, we go into the world knowing that there is nothing better that we could give our life to than the spread of this message, this good news to the very ends of the earth. There is nothing more important than this. Nothing more necessary than the truth that Jesus is alive. He is in fact alive. This is good news for everyone, everywhere. And so we make it our mission to tell everyone, everywhere. And then finally, we said before that without the resurrection, we are, as followers of Jesus, we are to be pitied. But now we get to flip it today on Easter. Since we know that Jesus has been raised, we are actually to be most envied. Those who believe in Jesus should be most envied. Some of you today are thinking, that sounds strange to say. Maybe a little arrogant. You'll see why it's not. Sounds funny, but let me explain. Do you realize what is true about those who follow Jesus today? Let me tell you a bit. For those of you who believe in Jesus, listen. We know that person is forgiven of all sin and all guilt. We talked about that. They are justified, which means that they are declared not guilty before the Creator God. We also know that person is adopted and loved as a child of God, and that is God's choice to do, not ours. What's also true is that followers of Jesus get to live this life with God, experiencing his love, his joy, his peace, until they get to be with God perfectly and completely. And hear this, these Christians did nothing, zero, zilp, to earn this. They did nothing. It's all a gift of God's love. It's all a gift of his grace. And there's more. Followers of Jesus get a brand new identity. They get to understand their purpose, which also means they get to live a life that actually matters. Who wouldn't want that? And so, now I hope you can see what I mean, that we are not to be pitied. Far from it. If Jesus is risen, then we should be most envied. And that, again, that is not arrogance. It's actually the deepest level of humility, because none of this is about us. Again, we did nothing. It's all about Jesus and the reality of his resurrection. And so, as we wrap things up today, let me connect the dots for us here. Let me connect the dots for us here as we wrap things up today. These realities, these resurrection realities, they give life, they provide hope, and they create joy. This is our message. That because of Jesus' resurrection, this is what is true for those who believe in Jesus. We are no longer in our sins, but are absolutely forgiven forever by God. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we now have access to a soul-satisfying relationship with our all-sufficient Savior. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we will not perish, no. We are alive with him in an incomparable, ever-increasing relationship of joy. This is Easter. Jesus is alive. Right now, this moment, this Jesus is actively ruling and reigning over all things. And right now, he is actually still speaking. He's speaking. He's saying to us, he's saying to you, this day, Easter 2024, I am the Christ. I have destroyed death. And therefore, all who hear these words, listen, come to me as the Savior who gives purpose. Come to me as the Savior who gives life. All who are stuck in sin, all who are wrapped in guilt, all who are caught in shame, all who are lonely, all who are burdened, all who are starving for love, come. Come to me. I am your forgiveness. I am your King. I am your Savior. I came for you and for you and for you. I came for you. I lived a life that you could never live. I came for you and died a death that you deserved to die. I came for you. I was buried in a tomb, buried there for 3 days in that tomb. But listen, when my friends, Jesus says, when my friends came to see me, when they journeyed to my grave to pay their respects to me, when they got to the tomb to mourn over me, they found that the stone entrance of the tomb was rolled away, that the tomb was empty. And in that moment, the greatest words ever spoken by anyone, anywhere, echoed throughout eternity. This Jesus that you are looking for, friends, he is not here. He is no longer dead. He is risen. Praise God. Happy Easter. Jesus is alive. Let me invite you to stand. Let's worship this Jesus.